Well, I did it again. I preached a message and it didn't get recorded. So tonight, this afternoon, as I go back over these sermon notes with you, instead of trying to re-preach it, I just want to kind of give you an overview of what we talked about this morning and help you understand a little bit about what it means to love in a marriage. Before we get into that, though, let me just give you five ways to make your marriage better. Again, we talked about it before. Our church runs the gamut of married, divorced, remarried, widowed, widower. And so we know all about it. Marriage is supposed to be that wonderful, perfect relationship between a man and a woman, but it doesn't always work out that way. So let me give you five things that I think will help you make your marriage better. Number one is always assume the best in your spouse. I know it's not always easy to do, but we need to always assume the best in our spouses. Never think that your spouse can read your mind. I don't care how long you've been married, it's not fair to them to think that they know exactly what you're thinking all the time. Speak affirming words to your spouse. Make sure that you're building your spouse up, not tearing them down. Remember that marriage is not a competition. Don't keep track of how good you are and how bad they aren't or are. And just kind of keep it on a level field. Don't worry about trying to keep score. And when you're having troubles in your marriage, never raise your voice. And I said this morning again, because I know we all have, and it's easy to do, but we really need to make sure that we try our best not to do that. So, as you think about that, let's read this passage of Scripture together, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's see where our lesson takes us today and how you can put it to practice in your life. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter, and it says, "If I speak with the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood. For now we see only in a mirror, a reflection. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray that you would just help us as we study your word to really understand what it means to love both our neighbor, you, but specifically in this context, our spouses. I ask this in your name. Amen. So I want to talk to you about what love means in a marriage. And number one this morning, or this afternoon, I want to tell you that love is the glue that holds a marriage together. I cannot imagine being in a marriage where both spouses don't love each other. I know there are people that get married for different reasons, and sometimes they get married, you know, just because they think they have to, or in some cultures, there's arranged marriages. People get married for monetary benefit sometimes. It's better on the taxes. Some people that have certain jobs, they'll get married just because if they get married, they'll make more money. I know that sounds crazy, but it's really true. But if you want a lasting marriage, a marriage that, like Leroy and Evelyn's marriage here in our church, that's going to last 66 years, you're going to have to love. And love does not mean that you're willing to put up with anything and that you just overlook everything and that you just, you know, go around with your head in the clouds and you don't think about things. Love is serious. Love is an emotion. Love is a state of being that is something you do on purpose. It's not just something you fall into. We call it, you know, we say sometimes, I fell in love, and it makes it almost feel like it's an accident. And sometimes it could be not planned, but I don't think it's ever accidental. And God gives us the best example of what love means when we think about the example that he gave us when he chose to send his son to die for us because he loved us that much. He created us with a purpose. He loves us. He wants us to spend eternity with him. And because he wants to have a relationship with us, he loves us. And true love in a marriage especially supersedes everything. Will there be things in your marriage that aren't perfect? You bet there will be. Will there be times when you might not like your spouse? Yes. But if you always love your spouse, it can conquer all. Love is the glue. Like I said, it's the glue that holds the marriage together. Without loving each other, it's too easy to just go our separate ways. And love will grow. I would ask most people if they love their spouse more today than the day that they got married. And in most good marriages, probably in all good marriages that are healthy and doing well, the answer is going to be yes. I love my spouse more today. Because honestly, when you first get married, you may not know your spouse as well as you do now. And while your love was in a combination of infatuation and attraction and hope, it's not the same after you've been married 10, 20, 30 years. Nell and I have been married 36 years, and I know that I love her more today than I did back then because I know her better. And it's so much fun to grow together and love each other more. So love is the glue that holds a marriage together. And you need to build on it. You need to help it to grow. You need to realize that you choose to love one another. And that's a big thing. But I think there's things that are in this passage that we need to really think about. So let me reread this part of this. In verse 4, Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, love does not delight in evil, but always rejoices in the truth. It protects, trusts, hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. So let me really quick just think about this and how you're going to put this to practice in your life. Let me tell you what love is not, okay? And if these things are creeping into your relationship, you need to really pray and ask God to help you get them out, okay? Because these things are what love is not, okay? And I've put them into three categories for us this morning. First is this, love is not vindictive. If there's ever a time in your marriage where something happens and you are mad and you think, I'm going to get them back, that's not love. That will destroy your relationship. That will really mess up your marriage. Love is not vindictive. It says it keeps no record of wrongs. Now, I'm not saying that that wrongs don't happen and that you should just not worry about them and just let them go. You need to talk about them. You need to work through them. But being vindictive is not a part of being married. Love is not selfish. Okay, there are things in your life that you want, that your wife wants or your husband wants, and you have to believe and live like not what you want doesn't matter, but it's not the most important thing. It's not selfish. You can't be selfish in a marriage. You have to work together. You're one. We talked about being one flesh. You have to be willing to work together. So it's not selfish. It's not my money. It's not her money. It's our money, okay? And it's not her car, my car. Those things, it's ours because we are one. And we really need to think about that. So love is not selfish. It doesn't look out for me. I like doing things for Nell. And this past week, and I said this morning, I had a kind of a fun thing that happened. It wasn't great at the time, but it worked into a good sermon illustration, if you will. Nell and I had gone to Sonic, and we'd gotten some Coke and some food, and we brought it home, and Nell was upstairs, and I was down, and all of a sudden I heard Nell say something out of frustration, and I said, "What's wrong?" And she goes, "Oh, I dropped my Coke all over the floor." And so I went upstairs, and she'd only taken like one or two drinks out of it, and the top, she picked it up by the top, and it had fallen on the floor. And so I helped her clean it up. Nice me, right? Yeah, very, very nice me. But I helped her clean it up, and then I went back to Sonic and got her one. And honestly, that only happens when you love somebody, because anybody else, you'd just say, "Oh, that's too bad, sorry." But I love her, and that worked into a really good sermon illustration, if you will, that it's not selfish. Love's not selfish. When you love somebody, you're willing to do something that might be inconvenient you. I don't remember what I was doing, but I was doing something downstairs. Hadn't planned to go back to Sonic, but I chose to go back because I love her. And love is not fleeting. The passage says love always perseveres. Love's not an emotion that kind of comes and goes. You love your wife or your husband or you don't. And the love needs to grow. True love is not fleeting. True love grows and it builds up, and it's a work in progress to love your wife or your husband the way that Jesus loves the church. Okay? So that's what love is not. And again, if you feel like, "Oh, today I don't love him," or "I want what I want, I don't care who, I don't care about him or her," you know, if those are the kind of thoughts that are coming into your marriage, you really need to think about them, talk to each other about them, talk to somebody else if you need to, go to marriage counseling if you need to, and make sure that your love is never, quote, that your relationship is not a vindictive one, because that's not about love. Love is, on the other hand, constant. It perseveres. It's there in the ups and the downs. Life is going great. Yay, we love each other. Life is really bad right now. We love each other. We're going to be there for each other in the good times and the bad. Love is constant. It's protective. I love my wife. I chose who I married. And if anybody disrespects her, does anything to her, including my kids, get upset. Because I'm very protective of my spouse. I used to kid with my kids every once in a while when they'd make me mad. I would say, especially when they would disrespect their mom, I would say, "Don't mess with your mom." And I would say, "Don't mess with my wife. I chose her. I got stuck with you." And it became kind of a joke to a certain degree, but in reality, it's the truth. I chose Nell as my wife, and I'm very protective. I don't want anybody to disrespect her, especially my kids. And so I'm very protected, and love is very protected. And love is amazing. Love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It's wonderful. It trusts. It protects. It hopes. Love is an amazing attribute that we can have for each other. In this instant, especially for each other. We're supposed to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that's the greatest commandment. We're supposed to love others as we love ourselves. But we are one flesh with our spouses. And so we need to use that love that God grows and gives to us and make sure that we keep it alive and constant in our marriage. Because love will tighten the knot. Love will probably tighten the knot better than anything else. If you really love each other and your love is growing, your bond will just get stronger and stronger. Your knot will get tighter and tighter, and it'll be harder and harder to get that knot untied. And that's what we want to do with our marriages. And so I hope this series has helped you. I trust that even though this was a short recap of the sermon, that you will try to understand how much you need to love each other if your marriage is going to last. There are some statistics that say that marriages are lasting longer in America. It's like 70% of marriages are lasting longer. It's kind of a messed up statistic, though, because most couples are choosing not to get married. They're just living together. So the ones that choose to get married, they are doing it and they're serious about it. So they stay married because they love each other and because they want to make it last and make it work. The ones that aren't serious about it or are worried about it, they just live together. So, yeah, it's great that marriages are lasting longer, but it's sad that people aren't willing to get married because they're worried about it not working out. Because maybe they saw divorce in their family and it just didn't want to risk it or something else. My hope and my prayer for you is that your marriage lasts a lifetime until death do you part, and then you keep God at the center. Let's pray. Father, help us. Those of us that are married, help us to really lean upon you, trust in you, put you first in our relationship so that we can have a relationship with each other that really matters and that is really strong. Help us to love each other with a godly kind of love. Help us not to think about love as an accident or something we just fell into, but something that is God-given because you created marriage to be a lifelong companionship and partnership with each other, with us, with each other. I ask this in your name. Amen.